Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. I'm very pleased to have as our kickoff interviewee in this program addressing some of the most important aspects of that battle space. He is Congressman Peter Roskam. He represents the people of the 6th District of Illinois with great distinction in the United States House of Representatives. He's been the Chief Deputy Whip in the House leadership and is a member of its Ways and Means Committee. It's always great to have him with us. Welcome back, Congressman. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be with you.
You have been among the most stalwart of Israel's supporters in the Congress, I think it's fair to say, and I know have been very concerned about the attacks that have been taking place on Israel and supportive of its efforts to defend itself against them. Where do you think things stand at the moment, Congressman Roskam, in terms of Israel's ability to protect itself by defensive operations in Gaza?
Well, it's incredibly important that we reassert and stand with Israel, and particularly as Israel asserts its right to defend itself. There's no other nation that would be able to tolerate, nor should Israel, these types of rocket attacks that are being initiated by an Iranian-backed terrorist regime, Hamas, from launches down in Gaza into Israel. So this is a time for us to be unambiguous. The Egyptians made a ceasefire offer and Hamas rejected it. Israel accepted it. In light of that and in light of many other factors, we need to stand with Israel just unambiguously.
We have the Secretary of State in Cairo today, evidently pushing very hard to broker a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Do you think that is advisable at this point, or should Israel have the latitude to try to really destroy the infrastructure, including now not a rocket launchers and so on, but apparently quite a warren of underground bunkers and tunnels and so on, which are being used to mount this threat against Israel?
Look, so if it were to stop right now, and that's kind of an academic question because I just don't think it's going to. I think Israel has its mind made up that it is determined, and it should be, that it's going to get those get the rocket sites and also clean out the tunnels to the best of its ability. If it were to stop right now and that work isn't done, it would all presumably resume very, very quickly.
You have also been at the forefront, to your great credit, Congressman Peter Roskam, of the effort to assure that Israel has protection against the sorts of missiles and rockets, some of which are now ranging over much of its territory, namely systems like the Iron Dome and Arrow and David Sling and so on. Give us a sense of where we stand with respect to American support for those critical technologies and their importance to the security of Israel.
Well, right. I mean, Iron Dome has been absolutely critical in really saving countless of lives throughout this whole conflict. And we expect the 2015 appropriations bill to match our request for doubling the Iron Dome funding. That would be $350 million, up from $170 million in 2014. So in other words, doubling it. Because it works, it's successful, it is a terrific investment, it is a joint U.S.-Israeli effort, and the proof is the saving of lives.
On a sort of related point, there are some who are inclined to cavil about all this aid to Israel and specifically financial assistance at a difficult time here in the United States. Could you comment on the proposition that what Israel is doing really is in the front line of what I call the war for the free world, and that it is waging this war now against Hamas, but perhaps against others who happen to be our enemies as well?
There's two ways to look at this support. Number one, it's military support. So the old days of U.S. giving broad financial aid unrelated to defense and military efforts, those days are gone. So this is an effort. U.S.-Israeli financial relationship and the financial support is limited to military efforts. And then the United States is an incredible beneficiary of this technology, of the laying out of this technology. Israel, to your point, is on the front line, but this fight can come very close to home for us here, and it's in our best interest, along with our allies, Israel, in order to take this fight and allow Israel to defend itself.
It's particularly evident with respect to Iran that it regards Israel as kind of a speed bump on its route to getting to us, the little Satan, as they call it. We're the great Satan. And speaking of Iran, you have been, I know, very critical of the administration's efforts to broker some kind of negotiated arrangement with Iran over its nuclear weapons program, which has now been extended for another 4 months. You've called it a colossal mistake. Talk a little bit about where you think we are at the moment. The Secretary of State over the weekend was insisting that this is making great progress in rolling back the Iranian nuclear program and that the sanctions regime is holding very well. Give us a truth check.
Right. It's complete nonsense. So where we are is nowhere. And where the Iranians are is billions of dollars ahead. The relief to sanctions has been a very significant boost to their economy. Remember, the sanctions were working. Sanctions absolutely drove the Iranians to the table. So it was a massive error to turn them off. So it says two things. Number one, Iran is open for business because sanctions is a cumulative effort. And when you turn it off, other countries are now trying to position themselves and what they will perceive to be the sort of the newest emerging market, if you think about it, and they're anxious to get into the market, and they see it as just a matter of time. And then the second thing is, remember, up until a short period of time ago, the United States fundamentally rejected the idea of a peaceful Iranian nuclear ambition, and that's because there is no such thing as a peaceful Iranian nuclear ambition. And now, with the administration and their negotiation, they have absolutely put the imprimatur of approval on a domestic nuclear program for Iran. It is a massive mistake.
And, you know, it just seems to me, Congressman, when I hear former Senator, now Secretary Kerry, making these representations, it's really national security fraud. This is simply denying the truth to the American people and causing them, I'm quite sure, a false sense of security, which is unwarranted in the extreme.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. You know, the fecklessness of the Obama administration's foreign policy is taking root. We see all of the consternation that's happening in Gaza because the Israelis are under enormous pressure from the administration, and Hamas senses an opportunity there. Great deal of turmoil as it relates to Iran. All the lack of respect, frankly, for the American president by Vladimir Putin and his adventures in Ukraine. So all of these things are now coming to fruition. And to your point, the administration, I think, is an absolutely desperate for a legacy. And they see this Iranian deal as a legacy that they can cling to, but it will be a false hope. And it's a false claim that this is going to make us safer.
Congressman, one of the other horrible legacies of this administration, of course, is Libya. And I was very pleased to see that you were among those appointed to a new select committee to examine what actually led up to, happened during, and then followed from the attacks in Benghazi. I know that this is early days, but is there anything you can shed light on in terms of how the committee is working and when you'll get into hearings and next steps?
The committee is moving slowly and deliberately, and that is to lay a good foundation for an end work product that we hope to report when the work is done. But, you know, normal House and Senate committees are, you know, every member of Congress has 5 minutes to question a witness and so forth. This is going to be a deeper dive. It's going to be quite a bit of document work, and the select committee is now gaining the documents and going through to make sure that all the documents are in our possession. And then secondly, it's going to be a great deal of deposition work, just behind the scenes, lengthy depositions with key witnesses. Because here's the question that needs to be answered. We Americans ask other citizens in the Foreign Service and intelligence services, other services, to go and do dangerous things for us and to go to dangerous places for us. And they're willing to do that with the understanding that if things unravel, that there will be help will be on the way. So the question is, why didn't it arrive? What was it that fell short? And that's the question that needs to be answered.
Well, we commend you for strapping on this work. We're delighted that it's finally taken shape in a select committee. It seems urgently needed, and I hope that the kind of thoroughness that you've described will, in fact, shed light at last on what happened and the lessons to be learned going forward. We commend you again for your service, Congressman Pete Roskam, on so many fronts. Thank you for joining us from time to time. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Next up, Dakota Wood from the Heritage Foundation. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.